This is The Agenda from News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com, where topics of local concern affecting you are open for discussion. And now your host, Michael Knight.
Well, I wish I had that much energy. For some reason, I'm losing my voice, but I'm not sick, so how the heck did that happen? I appeal to you. Send medical attention. You know where I am. 1215 at News Radio 560 KPQ. First show of the agenda for the year 2019. Let's hope it's going to be a great one. Our very special guest today is New York Vinny. But I ask you first to consider this. Cars, trucks, and football. Well, it's three things. No man in America or any of its territorial possessions can live through an entire day without thinking seriously about cars, trucks, and football. Now, it's true, other thoughts may invade the thinking space. I can think of a couple. I'm sure you can, too. However, in time, the brain's central thinking space will return to ruminate on cars, trucks, and football. Now, if you run out of things to think about, we'll help you here today. There's other stuff, too, of course, which may or may not need some official thinking about. But if you don't have a brain, and many of us do not, well, you can just disregard this message, or you can try to think about it and measure your frustration on the way back from medical attention that you'll need. Yeah, go on, try to think without a brain. As a nation, I wouldn't say we're good at it, we're proficient. How would that be? Now, my brain has gone the way of my voice, so I have someone professional help to help me talk about, well, what needs to be talked about, cars, trucks, and football. And who else would it be to join me at this time, the first guest of 2019, New York Vinny. Hey, Vinny!
Mike, how are you? Happy New Year, pal.
Happy New Year to you, Vinny. Heole makihiki hau and Happy New Year. Whatever they say on Staten Island, you know.
And as we say in Staten Island, they usually say when you're leaving, leave the bottles that weren't opened. Don't take them with you. They're not door prizes.
That's right. That's not a gift. It's not a gift with purchase, and it's not a gift when you leave. Those bottles need to be will be opened at another time. We'll take care of it on this end.
Exactly, miss. You have a good New Year?
I had a pretty good New Year. It was very quiet because my Christmas was so insane. All the family was in L.A., and we were one party. I know you've been to a party like this. When there's 30 people for dinner, but 13 of them are kids under the age of 12, and the place was torched. It was torched. They were running like a pack of wild animals through the house.
Well, that's how they grow up. If you water them and you let them run, they grow up to be sons and daughters, don't they?
They do. Let them run. That's all I can advise you. Let them run. So I hope you had a good Christmas and a Happy New Year, too, Vin.
Yeah, very quiet, but very good.
Well, what did Santa bring you that he didn't bring me?
Well, what did Santa bring me? You know what? Santa brought me... this sounds kind of nuts. But,
I know.
Santa, yeah, I know. Santa brought me a little Christmas plate that I've always wanted since I was a little kid. And finally my sister found it in some antique store somewhere. And that was like, it's a little cheap plate that we had when we were kids.
But it's exactly the same kind, right?
The exact same plate. Not the plate I had, the actual plate, but another plate just the same like it.
Isn't it funny how glasses that we used when we were kids or silverware that we used when we were children or those plates, I mean, you see them so often, and then when you see another one as an adult, you just go, holy moly, I'm having a flashback.
Yeah, it's amazing. I have my mom had a serving tray. It was like a pressed aluminum-type serving tray. Small one, looks like you put, those aluminum glasses. Remember those 50s aluminum glasses on it?
Oh, sure.
And a pitcher of lemonade and serve it out. And years ago I found it, some stuff, and it hangs in my kitchen. And every time I look at it, I think of my mom and how she really messed up the entire cookbook of Italian cooking.
She meant well, but just had an errant way with the recipe?
never could quite get the right mix of garlic and olive oil. I don't know exactly what it was.
Well, you know, you can't cook without either one of those things. You can't cook without olive oil. You can't even begin.
Yeah, pork chops she could do okay. You know, anything Irish she could do okay. But boy, I'll tell you, she could mess up some Italian cooking like it. I'll tell you, you know, 42 governments in Italy when, you know, after World War II, I think she had 42 different recipes for baked ziti, and none of them really worked.
Oh, I love baked ziti. In fact, now I'm having a Sopranos flashback. You know, that Uncle June always told everyone that the Italians taught the world how to eat.
Oh, well, he's right.
He's damn right.
Right. He was a heck of a guy, Uncle June. Still stand-up guy.
Yeah, he would show up. He would show up at your party.
Until he had to lay down.
And he might take a bottle that hadn't been opened, but you wouldn't say anything.
Exactly.
Well, Vinny, let's take a look at... Go ahead. What'd you say?
Walking out the bottle. Good. I said, if Uncle June's walking out with the bottle,
let him go. Take it. Go with the light. Let's start with some of the cars, trucks, and football that we're going to talk about today by mentioning the Toyota Sequoia HUV. Is that the one you're driving this year, or have you got a new car?
That's my last car last year and first car of this year. It's the one that goes up. And I'll tell you, Mikey, I really like this. It's a full-size SUV. It competes. It's, you know, a little smaller than the Land Cruiser, but yet it competes in that territory. Where you see, the Mercedes, you know, the big Mercedes and the Suburban and, the GMC Denali and the Cadillac Escalade. It's not as luxurious as most of those cars. And as a matter of fact, it's a bit long in the tooth as far as styling. It's been the same, style for, I don't think they've changed in about 10 years, but there's something, it gets the job done. Without a lot of fancy bells and whistles. So if you're one of those people, you get in these cars and you say to yourself, well, geez, you know, these cars have all this luxury stuff in it and all of this and all of that. And I want a car that maybe just I can sit in, and maybe it's not going to cost me as much, but it gives me the room, the space. But I don't need such a luxurious car. I don't want to pay for such a luxurious car. The Toyota, Sequoia might fit the bill for you. They've only done a few little changes on it, as I've said, and you can get it as, custom models, you know, like the SRT and those. But as far as handling, as far as riding, as far as safety equipment, as far as just overall performance, it's built on frame of the Tacoma, and it gives you a solid truck, but 381 horsepower, 5.7 V8. It really, I think, you know, for the money, what I'm driving is about $60,000. I think they started about $49,000. I think if you're in the market for an SUV, it's one worth looking at, as long as you're one of those people that don't have to have the latest, you know, every little latest bell and whistle and everything like that, you know. It has the stuff you need, not a lot of the stuff you don't want if you're a little bit more utilitarian. And I think it's a great buy. It's a great truck. TRD was the initials I was looking for before their sport trim level. And if you want to add that kind of stuff on, but it comes standard with all the active safety equipment, lane departure, and adaptive cruise control. It seats 8, and it'll tow 7,400 pounds.
Now, Vinny, when a model like the Sequoia doesn't change appreciably for maybe as many as 10 years, can they be courting danger? Could they fall out of favor? Could they end up, you know, even being a cancellation because the model didn't move for a couple of years?
Yeah, they can, but as we just saw with Ford, you know, they just revamped their Expedition and a couple other SUVs, and Lincoln did the same. They can fall out of favor. But there are also people, and I think there's a market for this, who, you know, trucks, cars, but especially SUVs have gotten so luxurious now that the price goes through the roof. Yeah, you have, but it's not, it's for a lot of people, it's too much. They don't know half the stuff that's in the car.
Yeah, they don't know how to use it, right? They have all these bells and whistles. They don't know how to use them.
Right, and with the Toyota, keeps things very basic. As a matter of fact, I think it's the only car I've driven this year. Well, no, there was a Volkswagen. But it's the only car, it's the second car I've driven in 2018 that you need a key to start.
Wow. Now, that's hilarious.
It has a fob that you can unlock it, but you still have to put the key in the ignition and turn it to start the car, not a button. And you know what? I like that, Mike. It's one less complication in a car if something goes wrong.
Hey, you've sat in a Porsche, you know, in the last 10 years. There's nothing on the dash of a Porsche these days. They don't have massive screens and televisions out the back and all the bells and whistles. You get a gas gauge.
They also don't have a dipstick.
Yeah, there you go. There's nothing on the dash. It's between you and the road and what happens out there.
Yeah, I mean, they have the nav system in there and some other stuff. But, that's a sports car. Sports cars, I mean, you remember, they used to come with three gauges, oil temperature, a voltmeter, and water temperature, and then the speedometer and tachometer. That was it. That was all you needed in a sports car.
Yep.
Now it's a little bit different. You know, now they want to do this temperature, that temperature, this, that, the other thing, blind spot this, blind spot that. A sports car like that, maybe you ought to just have, you know, just the three gauges and that's it. I used to love it. But, yeah, the Toyota Sequoia, as I said, if you're in that market for an SUV and you don't mind that the styling isn't, 2019, that the styling is more from the middle of the decade, there's something there to like. There's something there to really like with this truck.
There was once a theory. I talked to a guy who designed cars out in Los Angeles, and he said, if you're going to buy a car in America, you might as well buy a Toyota, a Nissan, or a Honda, because those cars run forever, and if you can barely get gas and oil in them, they'll run probably further than any other car out there. Is that a fair statement, and do other cars just get so complicated that their repairs are more expensive?
I think years ago that was true. I think now that if you maintain your car, that you'll get 200,000, 300,000 miles out of almost any car that's out there.
Just because the technology is that good?
Yeah, the technology is that good. The quality control is that good. All of the stuff that they put in these cars these days is tested. A long time ago, Nissan, Honda used to be the leader in that stuff. You never met a Honda that you didn't get 200,000 miles out, as well as you changed the timing belt at 70,000 miles.
Or it'll change itself if you don't.
Or you change it at 71. Same thing with the Nissans. You know, they were, as long as you put oil in them, they ran forever. But now every automaker, quality and how many miles you can put on a car is a factor for people. So that there's not many cars that you could go out and buy that you're not going to put 250,000, 300,000 miles on. And, as long as you take care of the car, is not going to give you good service for that amount of miles.
What does it take?
Americans are pretty good.
You've driven so many cars in the past 10 years. What does it take to surprise you these days? What does it take to really get your attention that somebody's doing something new and different? It doesn't have to be complicated, just different.
Different. If something's different. If something is cars today, and you talk about conversation. I was just having this conversation with a friend of mine about, designs of cars. When I see something different in a car today, because everything is so much alike, that surprises me. That turns me on. When I see something or feel something in a car that distinguishes it from the Toyota from the Chevy, or the Chevy from the Ford, or the Ford from this or that. Like last week when I was in New York, I drove the Chevy Bolt, which is the all-electric Chevrolet. And that car, I couldn't drive that car enough because it was so different from anything else out there that I've driven, that it really turned me on. There was a sense of like, okay, This is the, you know, they're doing something different here. They're doing something that is not normal. You get in this car and you immediately know that you're in something that isn't like anything else that you're in, whether you're a passenger or a driver, but especially if you're a driver.
And that's the Bolt with a B?
That's the Bolt with a B. It's a compact car. It's my car of the year, actually. Out of everything I've driven this year, and I've driven a lot of cars this year, that car, because of the technology, because of the seamless way that you can drive it as if you were driving a car with a gas engine, because it has a range of 200-plus miles, which is in Tesla territory, and I think that will go up as they keep manufacturing this car, because I drove it a week and didn't have to put a drop of gas in it. It's the future. I drove the future this weekend, Christmas weekend.
And Vinny, is that a General Motors design, or did they buy that design from some other manufacturer?
It's General Motors, and it's a joint project, I believe, between somebody in Korea and General Motors. I think General Motors designed the car, and Korea's, and I can't remember the company in Korea, is supplying the powertrain. Just like Toyota supplies Ford, I think it's Ford's powertrains. You know, most of this hybrid battery stuff is either being done by Tesla or by companies over in China and in Korea.
And we've seen General Motors have successful partnerships with Korea's manufacturers before. That whole Aveo series was partially Japanese, partially Korean, I think, wasn't it?
Which one, the Daewoo or the...
Yeah, it was Daewoo transmission and then a Japanese body. I don't know if I have that right.
Right, yeah, they had that, and then they also partnered with the Toyota, which was the Chevy Nova, the last edition of the Chevy Nova, the Numi Motor Company down in, where they're building Tesla now, in Northern California, was a partnership between General Motors and Toyota. You're going to see more partnerships because the technology is going so fast, Michael, that these companies can't do it alone. So a lot of these different companies, car companies, are getting together and they're saying, okay, we'll develop a transmission or we'll develop an engine. We'll take the transmission, you take the engine, we'll use them in these cars. There's even cars that are being developed, jointly by companies that Toyota and Subaru come to mind with the little sports car that they jointly developed. It's a little different if it's a Mazda, if it's a Subaru, than it is if it's a Toyota. But, the Toyota 86 is the one I'm thinking of. But it's a great little sports car developed by both companies.
And when two companies develop a car, they minimize the financial risk. They don't have to do it all on their own, and they share some of that danger and some of the excitement, too.
Yeah, exactly. They're getting more bang for their buck. The engineers are pooling their resources. I mean, it's the idea of General Motors. And if you really think about it, that was the whole idea with General Motors, that you would take five car companies or six car companies, put them together, and pool all their resources. And, each company would get what it needed out of the GM Development Center.
With a body by Fisher.
With a body by Fisher, right. Body by Fisher, a transmission by, what was the name of the, Allison was one of but the, I'm trying to think of the name of the company that developed the transmission. But, yeah, body by Fisher. Remember, you used to look at the old... they bought out the Fisher Body Works in Detroit, and they were exclusively for General Motors. I think the only one that didn't have a body by Fisher was the Corvette.
And that was body by God.
That was body by fiberglass, baby.
My very special guest is New York Vinny. This is the first agenda of 2019. We'll be back to talk with Vinny about cars, trucks, and football, or any other sports that come to our mind when we get to that part of the show right after these words.
You're listening to The Agenda.
Eating out is eating healthy.
The Agenda with Michael Knight on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.
News Radio 560 KPQ time is 12:38. I'm Michael Knight, even though it sounds like I'm Popeye the Sailor Man or somebody, I don't know, somebody with a with more of a baritone than I naturally have. And on the line with me is our good friend and our special guest today on the first agenda of 2019, New York Vinny. We're talking about some of the best cars of 2018, some of the best cars and trucks around, and in a minute, maybe we'll even talk about football. Unless you're in the mood right now, Vinny, we could go right into Seattle versus Dallas. I don't care.
Let's do a little bit more cars because we all know that the Seahawks are going to beat the pants off of Dallas anyway, right?
I think so. I got them by three. It's going to be it's going to look closer on paper than it actually is. We'll take away their running
game. Yeah, I
don't
like going on the road.
No, well, who wants to go to Dallas if you don't have to?
Yeah, and for anything. I don't care if it's just to go shopping at Neiman Marcus. You just don't want to go to Dallas if you don't have to. I've been there a few times, and it's I don't know. I don't think it's. I'm not impressed with the city. Haven't been for years.
This whole thing with Seattle trying to, well, they have to win to advance. That's all there is to it. It's win or go home. And the same thing with Dallas. But the Dallas team has had similar year to the Seahawks, it seems to me, if you look at it, because they've got this frustration sort of like built into their DNA. They look like they're going to win, and then they don't.
Well, you know, see, the difference to me, though, Mikey, is that nobody expected the Seahawks to do anything this year. Where Dallas was expected to be, you know, to win the division. I mean, they were supposed to be the cream of that. I mean, who else in that division you look at? You know, you got the Eagles, obviously, but they, you know, once they started tripping over themselves a little bit, and injuries, of course, killed them. But as you look at Dallas, Dallas was supposed to be pretty decent. Was supposed to be if you take the Eagles out because of the injuries, but everybody took it. I think Dallas wound up right where it's supposed to be.
And remember, there was all that promise attached to Dak Prescott, and really it did not materialize. Which leaves me thinking that Dallas is an interesting team because they're going to the playoffs, but I bet they're looking for another quarterback.
Could be. I don't know. I wouldn't say his job is secure. I think that he. I think the job is his to lose. Obviously, it's not like where Russell Wilson is secure. You know, Ben Roethlisberger here in Pittsburgh is secure. Many of those, you look around the league and those guys, those 10 guys in the league that are secure, I think that Prescott, I don't know what he's for. I think if Dallas can figure out somebody better, but right now I think he suits what they're doing. And again, they're predicated a lot on O-line. I think their tight ends, and we were talking about this a little earlier, I think that, the tight ends are going to be huge for them if they can get them going. Dallas can be, I was reading a stat just the other day, is that it's the most work that the Dallas tight ends have gotten since the early 80s.
Well, who's that new tight end of theirs, the kid that wears number 89? I think he made three touchdowns this weekend. I can't remember his name right now, but he's like resurfaced and put the tight end back in everyone's mind about what their offense is going to be like.
Tight end. He's done a real nice job. But I mean, that's the thing is that if he can find them, and make that happen, and if the Seahawks can, then he's going to be tough to beat. But if the Seahawks can defend against those tight ends and have the defense to do that, well, then they'll be able to do something, I think.
I also think that Dallas is a sackable team, so we have to try a little of that to take away their enthusiasm.
Yeah. Well, listen, we've seen the Seahawks defense show up, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there haven't been too many games where the Seahawks, where you could look and say that the Seahawks have the Seahawks defense has faltered, except I believe for one. Right? I think there was one where they kind of laid back a little bit. But, don't know.
Yeah, I know. Before we run out of time, Vinny, I want to give you some of these teams to pick. These are your pick-ems. I have not discussed this with you. Colts and Texas, who do you pick?
Boy, Andrew Luck is on a roll, ain't he?
Isn't he?
I'm
going to
go with the Colts.
I think you should. I pick the Colts. Chargers and Ravens, who you got?
Boy, the Ravens had trouble last week with the Bengals. Chargers are very, very hot right now. But you know what? Baltimore is a tough, tough, tough place to play, man. I'll take the Ravens.
I'm going to take the Chargers because I think the Ravens will find a way to lose, even though I do like their new quarterback. The guy from St. Louisville,
yeah.
he's really got a lot of talent. But the Chargers
just want to get rid of Harbaugh.
The Chargers are just floating on this idea that there are two great teams in L.A. and no one can believe it. It's really hard to get used to, actually, when you think about it. The L.A. Chargers and the L.A. Rams are both hot.
Kind of crazy.
I know. It doesn't make any sense.
Used to have nothing, now I got something.
And the story of my life. And last of the pick-ems that are coming up this weekend, Eagles and Bears.
To me, that might be the toughest game right there because...
Where are they playing? I don't know.
I think they are playing in Chicago, if I'm right.
That's too bad for the Eagles then.
Yeah, I think, let me go back a second here. I think they're playing, if I'm not mistaken, I think they are in Chicago.
I'll give you a second.
Yes, they're in Chicago.
Okay, I'm picking the Bears.
Yeah, I'll take the Bears at home, too.
The Eagles better show up with four quarterbacks because they're going to need them.
Yeah, it's just not that, you know, they're going through the post-Super Bowl thing. You know, 9-17, 6-seed, 7-seed, something like that. They're hung over from last year still. That's what happens when you're playing a town where you got to grease the lamp poles.
Oh, I forgot about that. But it is a tradition, so let's grease them today. My very special guest, there he is, the voice of New York, Vinny, my very special guest of the first show of 2019. It's me on this end, but it doesn't sound like me. Not even to me, it doesn't sound like me. 12:45, we're going to take a break, come back and talk to Vinny. We did this out of order. It's not his fault, it's mine. We'll go back to cars. We started with trucks, went to football. We're going to wind up with the best cars of 2008, or maybe not, right after this.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com. News Radio 560 KPQ. Listen to us streaming live on your device through the KPQ app. How do you, KPQ?
Pass the concrete. This is Dave Ross on the CBS News Radio Network. Presented by Theros
in Everett, Marysville, and Wenatchee. That's Pacific Power Batteries for everything.
The Agenda with Michael Knight on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.
12:52, 32 degrees outside here in Wenatchee Town. I'm Michael Knight. My very special guest on the line with us now is New York Vinny. We're talking about cars, trucks, and football. I should have mentioned, Vin, that the Chiefs, the Rams, the Patriots, and the Saints all have to wait to see who they play. Yeah. Anyway, what else is on your list for the cars you love for 2018? I cut you off your track there for a while.
Oh, that's okay. No problem, Mikey. All right. So, as I said before, my car of the year, the car that I thought was... you know, that I drove that I thought was different and innovative and something that isn't for everybody, but yet worth checking out. You're going to want to ride in this car. Maybe you want to take a test drive in this car, is the Chevy Bolt. Not available everywhere, but available on the East Coast and the West Coast. The Bolt is showing that, number one, that our innovation, that we can build a car, even though we partnered with the Koreans, the engineering's coming from here, this car is a car that is proving that there are different alternatives to fossil fuels, and you can use them. This car, it will be able to be charged eventually solarly from your house. As I said, it's comfortable, it's light, it is quick. As a matter of fact, it's quick in the most internal combustion engines because your electric motor just picks it right up. So that was my car of the year that I drove. nothing as cool as that. My SUV of the year was the Alfa Romeo Stelvio Quadrifoglio, only because of the name.
I know. Say it again.
Alfa Romeo Stelvio Quadrifoglio.
Che fai, signori? Yeah.
Hey, this was a fantastic vehicle, man. I mean, as luxury SUVs go, or crossovers, really, it's not a big SUV. As crossovers go, there was nothing to touch this. Just a spectacular ride, a fast car. It's like driving a sports car with, you know, a room attached to it. So that was that. My surprise of the year as far as sports cars was the Kia Stinger. That car, again, Kia has gone out and built a legitimate touring car that I'll put up against BMWs, and I'll put it up against, I'm not going to go to Porsches, but I'll put it up against BMW and any other high-performance sedan that you want to put out there. It's a heck of a car, the Kia Stinger, and it was one car that I drove, I don't know, over 1,000 miles, and when it came to get it, didn't want to give it up.
You may not have your car back. You can't have your Stinger back.
You can't have your Stinger back. Family car of the year for me, hands down, it was the Subaru Forester, the brand-new Subaru Forester. You can't do better than that car. You know, it's just a spectacular car. It has everything. It's one of the safest cars you'll drive. And for me, it was the best all-around family car that I drove this year. And the wild ride of the year was the Ford GT, man.
Oh, boy.
$450,000 Ford, baby. But I'll tell you, if you got the money, it's worth every dime of it.
You'll never forget that ride to Poughkeepsie, will you?
Oh, my Lord. What a machine. Just a spectacular... Six cylinders and 700 horsepower. How can you go wrong?
I love it, Ben. Benny, we got to go. I'm out of time. We'll leave it with the Ford GT because you can't do better than a $450,000 Ford. New York, Benny, have a great year. It's so great to talk to you. We'll talk again soon.
Talk to you soon, Mikey. Take care.
The fabulous New York, Benny. Cars, trucks, and football.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ.